Good morning and welcome to Real Estate and Other Stuff on KHTS 1220 AM and 98.1 FM and on Facebook Live. I am your somewhat favorite co-host, Taylor Williams-Moniz. Phil is not here in the studio today because he has a little bit of a cold, but Phil, I think you're there.
Just a teeny bit of a cold. Just a teeny bit. And
poor
I didn't
thing.
Want to give it to you because you've got all your little regrets running around and I didn't want, you know, that would be bad.
I know, but you sound great. How are you? Other than that.
Well, actually, you know what? I wasn't feeling terrible, but then yesterday I played in a golf tournament that you told me that I probably shouldn't play in.
Yep.
And you know what? You were correct.
Let's fill everybody in. So what time did this golf tournament tee off?
Well, first thing is I went to bed so early that I woke up at 3:30, right? And so I was kind of hanging out. And then I went out there at just before 6 a.m. Teed off at 6:15.
And it was freezing. Too cold.
Yeah, it was cold. I had shorts on because I knew it was going to be, you know, hot during the day.
So everyone in the studio is shaking their head right now, thinking about you with the cold, in the cold, with shorts on.
Yeah. And I felt bad because the guys I was playing with were kind of looking at me like, okay, you're sick, and I don't know why you're out here. And so, but I couldn't let the team down because it was a team thing, right? And so, but we didn't win the tournament. But for some reason, if you play in that tournament and you win like $15, $15.15,
right.
It's like wow, it's huge. I won $70.
Wow.
And they had a big luncheon after that. I didn't go to it, obviously, because I didn't want to get people sick. But the guy called me up and goes, hey, you won $70. I went, how the heck did I do that? So I still don't know.
But well, I'm going to come over and pick up a check. That's what I told you earlier.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. You get a part of that.
Hardly.
The thing is, though, it was funny because the very last shot that I made, it was on a par 3. I put it 19 inches from the cup. It almost went in the hole.
Wow.
It would have been fun.
Good for you. Well, we do miss you in studio, but we're glad that, you know, you're alive and everything's okay.
Yeah,
and we've
got
you. Thanksgiving is next week, right?
I know.
How, like,
crazy.
How, right? It's so, just so quickly. What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving here on Thursday. We'll have a couple of, I'm thinking we'll have my sister and my brother-in-law, and then we're doing a big thing out at my son's house on Friday.
Well, I'm just asking because, you know, Greg and I are going to bring all 900 of our children and crash your Thanksgiving.
That's okay by us.
Yeah, really why I was
asking. We have to buy, because I've got to go out today, believe it or not, and buy a bigger turkey. So
you're going out today to buy a turkey? No. Well, my daughters, they drink milk, right? So they don't need a turkey. So you're fine.
Oh,
you don't need to buy anything else. And I'm kidding. We would never ambush you. Craziness.
But it would be okay.
Well, you're very sweet.
You just have to tell us how big of a turkey we need to get.
I know, right? So we've got a lot to get to today. And I think the fun part is I kind of get to decide what we talk about. Yay!
Yes. Yes, you can pick and choose.
I know. So good. Do you want to do some by the numbers? Maybe start there?
Sure.
And let us know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Can we get that stinger?
Yay!
Or no? No?
We just
no
did
stinger?
It. We just got it. I don't think you could hear it, but we did it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the callers can't hear that.
By the numbers.
That's interesting to know.
Yay!
That's good.
Yep.
Okay,
she displayed it again. So
active listings.
Yep.
We have 484, which is interesting because we almost had at one time in the summertime, we had almost 700.
Almost 700, right.
So now you would think, because we only have 484, you got to ask yourself, why is that? And I think it has to do with two things. Number one is, I think it has to do with the fact that people are saying, look, I've got a 2.75 or a 3% interest rate. I decided I don't want to move into a 7% interest rate, which makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Right? And things are still selling, though. Active under contract and pending is 221.
Okay.
And sold in the last 30 days are 207. So realistically, we still only have about 2, maybe 2.5 months worth of inventory.
But we've talked about this on the show before. Isn't the holidays typically a slower time in terms of listings and whatnot?
You know what? As far as people actually putting it on the market, yes. As far as business actually happening, no. It seems like the time that it really slows down is January and February.
Oh, okay.
Which scares me because I've got to put my house back on the market
say,
because I took it off because I had to go back back to, you know, Texas. Texas. And okay. I was going to put it on this weekend, but I thought, you know what, I don't, because it's by appointment, or because I have to be here, I don't want to give anybody a cold. So I decided to keep it off the market.
Okay. But so you're saying we've got a month and a half or 2 months of inventory, and that's it. Do you think it'll go?
Actually, a little over 2 months.
Okay.
A little
okay,
over two months, like 2.5 months.
Okay.
Which is not a lot, which is good. I mean, I think that's good. And so it's one of those things to where I think there are certain things that are good that are happening right now. Even though I feel bad when it comes to the way I feel right now, I think that we need to concentrate on the good. And here's one of the good things,
okay.
right? The good things is the stock market has rebounded big time, right?
Okay. Yep.
That's a huge thing, right? And because of the fact that the inflation rate was rated from it was 8.4, then it came down to 8.2, then it dropped to 7.7. 7.7 means that the actual interest rates for housing went from 7.25% to like 6.64%. They're saying it's the biggest drop in I don't know how many years, which is
good.
Is awesome.
Absolutely.
Right?
Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. Any good news is good.
I think it's so interesting.
Right?
Normally when you're in the studio, we talk about bad news and Open Door and Zillow and evil, evil, evil. But when you're not here, you bring, you know, good news, which
Maybe
makes
I
me laugh.
Not be there. Is that what
no, absolutely not. I'm just, you know, it's a good news show. That's great.
So what else is the good news? NAR chief
economist
predicts a strong rebound in 2024, right?
I was about to say, this dovetails into it. Yep. So Lawrence Yun said home prices will rise 1% and sales will dip 7% next year before recovering in 2024. In contrast to a Fannie Mae forecast last month that predicted falling prices next year. So I'm interested in your take on this. But home prices will rise slightly and sales will dip next year before making a comeback in 2024. What do you think about that?
I think he's probably right.
So we have to wait until 2024.
Well, yeah. So I'm going to take my house off the market until 2024, and I'll just not buy the other house until then and see what kind of penalty that brings. Yeah, you know what? Realistically, it's one of those things to where this has to work itself out. And as soon as it does, everything will be back because there's so many good things about the economy right now, and it's unfortunate that the real estate industry had to take the brunt of you know, the them raising the interest rates, and they knew what was going to happen, you know, and they knew that it was going to be.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things to where hopefully he's right when it comes to the strong rebound, and I do believe that we're probably going to go into a recession this year, obviously, and I hate to say it, but there are certain things that are good about a recession depending on where you're at, right? So inflation is terrible for the people that are on a fixed income, right? We know that.
Right.
However, the recession is good for people that are on a fixed income because then all the prices come back down. But the recession is bad for people that are working, that are trying to make more money, right? Because the fact the prices come down, sometimes their salaries come down and things like that. So that's a bad thing. But it's interesting that I think that as soon as the recession hits, that mortgage rates will actually come down, which is important. But
right.
I think that, and that's what's going to bring us because the the values of the homes are coming down. You bring the interest rates down, and all of a sudden it peaks back up again.
Yeah. So Mr. Yun, who's the NAR's chief economist, he said that he forecasts that home prices in 2022 would be up 10% year over year, right? Increasing a slight bit, and then 1% more in 2023, and then jump up to 5% in 2024. And he said, quote, the prices will be mostly stable across the country in 2023, meaning that half of the country will see minor price gains. The other half of the country will see minor price declines. So more or less, I think he's saying it's going to even out, right?
Yep.
So that's good.
And I think right now the that's a big thing when it comes to loans right now, or the 5-1 and the 7-1 ARM, the adjustable rate mortgage. Yeah, so they actually can or the 2-1 buy down. You can actually pay 2 points, and it will buy it down 2% the first year, 1% the second year. And so a lot of the sellers are actually offering that to their buyers. Instead of lowering their price, they're just offering less when it comes to they'll actually pay for the 2-1 buy down. Which can be expensive, unfortunately.
Right. I'm going to have you explain that more on our next show when you don't have such a sad-sounding voice, because I feel bad that you're talking so much, poor thing.
I know. I'm so sorry. I get it.
But it sounds like things are evening out, right? So that's good.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So, you see also that we talked about the NAR votes to end the use of the term handicapped in the Realtor Code of Ethics, which I actually think this is really interesting. So the highest governing bodies of the 1.6 million member National Association of Realtors have amended the Realtor Code of Ethics to replace references to handicap with disability. Which, handicap is widely considered to be antiquated, if not offensive, said the committee in its rationale for the proposal and the board to delegate the body, which now they are using the word disability, which I think is great. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, is disability really that much better than handicap? And I understand the handicap is bad, right? I get that, because, it really is kind of derogatory. But it's
nail on the head.
To pick a word. Disability is, I guess, they used to actually try to fluff the other one by saying handicapable.
Oh.
instead of handicapped, handicapable.
Right. Well, handicap with golf, right?
Well, that's the funny thing. I actually wrote this down. I said, golf, what's your disability? Instead of what's your handicap? And it doesn't actually flow when it comes to golf, because your handicap obviously is if you play poorly, your handicap goes way, way up.
Like
you can't say what's your disability in golf.
Right.
Because most people have plenty of disabilities when it comes to golf.
Very true.
I think
it says the NAR Board of Directors passed the proposal overwhelmingly with 814 directors of 900 present voting in favor. So that's obviously what they wanted to do, which I think it makes sense.
Yep. Yep. Did you see any of the comments after that?
I did.
Yeah. People were saying, just exactly how many people actually voted on that actually had handicaps or disabilities? I mean, were we really represented? It was like, oh, okay, yikes. But, I mean, it seems like it was all good.
I think so.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I have many disabilities, exhaustion being one of them, but I don't, not enough to have a handicap, right?
Let me tell you something. I think that you are superwoman.
Hardly.
No, you are. Trust me. Hardly. It's amazing what you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Says he,
I'm serious.
Shorts and, 6:15 in the morning golfing. No, thank you. So do you want to go to another one, or do you want to take, because we've got some lawsuits to discuss, which, my goodness,
yes, we do.
Favorite.
Yeah, also, I think the 10 financial don'ts heading into a recession, I think, is a good one. Okay, yeah, let's take a break. And then,
you want to take a quick break?
We'll come back and hit it hard.
All right, let's do it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, good morning and welcome back to Real Estate and Other Stuff on KHTS 1220 AM and 98.1 FM and on Facebook Live. I'm Taylor Williams Moniz and we've got Phil on the phone. Phil, are you still there?
I think I am. I lived through the commercial.
He does. Thank goodness. All right. Yep. So next thing that I want to talk about, an interesting article, 10 financial don'ts heading into a recession. So if it weren't so early in the morning, I would say, if I had a shot or a dime for every time I heard the word recession, right, then we would be in a state of collapse. However, a lot of people are thinking, okay, recession is coming, which we've talked about, and what do we do to handle it? So this is 10 financial do nots heading into a recession. So I'm going to read them, and then we can discuss your take on them.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
10 guidelines. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Again, for some, a recession is terrible.
Right.
For some, a recession is great.
I know. You said that on the air the other week that you thought the recession was okay, and I thought we're not going to have a show after you make that comment because a lot of people don't understand that, but you're right.
Yeah, for some it's okay.
Okay, so here is number one. Don't buy something because it's on sale. Retailers have sales to motivate people to buy things that they normally would not buy. Whether the normal price is too high or the specific item is not top of mind, sales are used to jolt buyers into buying things that they most likely do not need and, in many cases, cannot really afford. Thoughts?
I love this. Is don't get bitten by the sale bug.
Yep.
And then it says, and it's funny because this is what I'm going to be looking for as soon as I move, an 85-inch screen.
If my husband is listening, he's looking at this also, yes.
I want one of those.
Oh, no. So most people have lived in healthy, satisfied lives without the item in question, and if they refuse to get bitten by the sale bug, will continue to enjoy a happy life, Greg, if you're listening, without the 85-inch screen or whatever else they think they need to buy.
Will we? Will we?
We're not buying an 85-inch TV. But I think this is true, right? I think retailers kind of take advantage of it. And, yeah, you see something on sale
absolutely.
You wouldn't have otherwise thought about.
But that's part of the recession. The recession means that they have to lower the prices because everything's on sale.
Right.
And so that just means that that's great. But I told Judy with the house, I go, you can buy everything else that you want because we're taking no furniture or anything. I go, the only thing I want is my television.
Oh, no.
And I just want to make it like a movie theater, and I sold it to her like this. You don't want to pay movie theater prices. Right?
Oh, you did
so
not.
So let's just have a movie theater here at the house. We'll have surround sound, 85-inch TV, and we can make it dark in the room and everything. So that was my sales pitch, and it worked.
I'm going to call Judy later.
Oh, dang it.
I know, right?
Told you
but,
that.
So I think this is good advice. Don't buy something just because it's on sale.
Yep.
Number two, don't buy with credit. Credit is a convenient way of buying something now that you most likely do not need and pushing the responsibility for paying for it down the road. This is a big one, right?
Yeah.
Bottom line, you will need to maintain your cash reserves over the next couple of months to make it through the recession. If you cannot justify paying cash for it now, then do not buy it.
I'm curious to know. Excuse me. I'm curious to know if people actually understand just exactly how much more their credit cards are charging them as the interest rates go up.
Absolutely. I don't think a lot of people think about that.
I don't think they do at all. I think they're paying the same amount, and that's not a problem. But
right.
If you owe $15,000 on credit cards, the amount that has gone up when it comes to the interest is astronomical.
Right.
So that's a scary thing for everybody, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what? Something that I've done, have you ever seen like the Affirm or Afterpay? You can pay it like in 4 payments. So there's no like interest charged, but you can split it up between 4 payments. Like that's what, yeah. So then you're not getting interest, right? It's if you can afford it, yes, then you can do it at that time. It just makes it an easier way to buy. That's my thought. Credit cards scare the you-know-what out of me. I can't see the word because I'm not supposed to cuss.
You know, Tony, when we first got married, the only credit card that I could get, which was weird, was American Express. And
oh, that is weird.
They gave me a credit card. And so we were so stressed when we started having kids. Like when we first had Chris and everything, we were so stressed that we went, you know what, we've got to go on vacation. We have to go to Hawaii. And we didn't have any money. And so it was like, no problem, we'll put it on a credit card. I've got American Express, we'll put it on a credit card. And so we came back and we realized, here comes this $3,000 bill.
Yeah.
Because it was 40 years ago, right? $3,000 bill. And I called up American Express and I said, look, we don't have $3,000 to give you. Can I make payments on it? They said, yeah, that's not a problem. And I went, oh, thank you.
So look at you. Like good for payments. You. I didn't know Amex did that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't either.
The constant negotiator. This is why people want you to list their house
exactly.
And to help them buy a house.
40 years ago when it had zero money.
Get it done.
Which was,
Yep. So. Okay, so number three, don't buy something unless it is critical to your current survival, which for you was going to Hawaii, right?
Exactly.
Unless it is a critical medical need or something similar, you should be able to survive without it. This the little paragraph here talks about the difference between want and need. And oh my Lord, if my father was listening to this, that's how he raised us. Do you need it? Do you want it? Right? Very important because there's a massive difference.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting it is so much more than needing it.
I know, right? That's what I tell Greg. I'm like, I'm going to buy something, but I don't. We don't need it. I want it. Okay, never mind. I'm not going to buy it. So that's good advice. All right, the next one. Don't buy anything new when used will do.
Ah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Yep. I mean, I think that goes with what? Cars, strollers, cars, kind of everything.
Especially.
Yep,
absolutely.
All right, so that's
and it. You know what? When they say you drive a car off a lot, you know, it loses 25% of its value. And that's something that I'm going to think about when I actually move, because I have to get another car, because it has to be a different type of car, so that when you visit us, right, we'll have a car.
In Texas. No, you're not going to have a car. You're going to have a truck in Texas.
Well, that could be, too.
Maybe not.
But I'm just thinking.
Yeah, so there you go.
Maybe used. Or,
absolutely. Yeah. All right, this one hits home if Greg Gugug is listening. Number 5, don't buy 2 when you need 1. And the author of this says, years ago, I heard someone joke about their purchases at Costco by saying, by buying bulk quantities of everything, I'm saving myself into bankruptcy. Unless you are storing up for another pandemic, you probably do not need a 3-year supply of toilet paper. Greg Agug. Or 900 eggs. If you've ever been to Costco and you buy like the flats of eggs, or like literally, I don't know, 60 eggs. Don't need it, right?
Yeah, no, I've never been to a Costco. In fact, I actually had to look up BOGO.
You've never been to a Costco?
No.
Wait, stop. Really?
No, I've never been to a Costco. I think we have one out here.
Yes, there is one out here. Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Precious and I are laughing at you. Yeah, it's off the 14.
No, that sounds, I'm very sheltered in certain areas.
You are. My goodness. Yeah. Okay. Well, when you go in, like, it's literally like 900 chickens, like all of their eggs are on this flat and you can buy all of them. And like Greg comes home with all of these eggs and I'm like, what are we going to do? Precious says she does the same thing. I'm like, what are we going to do with all these eggs? Yeah, it's you don't need them. Well, I'm going to have to take you to a Costco.
I had to ask Siri what BOGO meant.
Buy one, get one. We're laughing at you. I'm sorry. Today is the make fun of Phil day. I'm sorry.
No,
how do you
no,
not know what that means?
That's okay. I was trying to figure it out. I was like, BOGO. I know what FOMO means, right? Fear of missing out. And I was thinking, okay, so
right,
probably the
that.
O is out. Buy one, get one free. I had no idea. There's buy one, get one free, which actually sounds cool.
But you don't.
I like that. See, all of these
you don't
things,
need it.
All of these things I'm guilty of.
All right. Well,
you
then.
Know what? Hey, it's a, hey. You know, I tell Judy, hey, if we buy one, we get one free.
But you don't need, that's what it's saying. You just don't need the extra one, right? There's just no need. As we're talking about a recession, like, you just don't need it. No.
Again, it's strictly I want it.
As long as if it's like a buy one, get one of like Parmesan cheese, then I would probably do that because we go through cheese. Ooh. Like we're crazy people at my house. But no, okay.
Yep.
All right, on the list, what's taking it? You to a Costco. Ugh. Don't buy the most expensive version.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. You know, you have 2 different kinds of toilet paper. You want to buy the expensive one because it's expensive. You don't need to, right?
Yep.
Just because it's the expensive one? Nope.
But this is interesting because I think that you don't know when it comes to what they're trying to tell you, when it comes to Timex watches and Bic Pen commercials.
Right.
I don't think that you know the, you know, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
Yeah, so Timex I didn't read that because I don't know what that means.
I like it.
Okay.
So Timex came out and they were a watch, right? And said, look, you know, you don't have to pay a lot of money. And so what they would do in the commercials is they would hit it and they would put it underwater and they would do all this stuff. And it says, Timex, it takes a licking, but it keeps on ticking.
Okay. Right? They would do crazy
and
things like
cheap.
Strap a watch to a boat propeller or shoot a pen through a piece of wood, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Crazy.
So it's like a good watch because it could get run over by a car and it would still keep ticking.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
And I get this. Same goes for a Mont Blanc pen. You don't need a Mont Blanc pen. That's like a gift. That's like if you work for somebody
super,
for 10 years.
Right.
And
super fancy pen. Right. Right.
Yep. Yeah, so I get that. That makes sense.
I mean, this just says, bottom line, do not fall into the trap of buying a luxury item when you cannot really afford it.
Yep.
Right? Something to think about. Okay, this next one is for me. Oh, hopefully Greg is listening. don't make impulse purchases. Woohoo! Many people who own a timeshare, for example, they bought it because they fell for the line, this offer is only good today. So you think that you have to buy it in that moment, right?
You know, as soon as I hear that, I don't mean to interrupt you, but as soon as I hear that, I automatically say, no, it's not.
Yep.
It would be good tomorrow, and it would be good the next day, and the next day, and because you told me that, I'm not going to buy what you've got.
Yeah, so you're smarter than most of us. other than wearing shorts golfing yesterday. But this, I think this, the bottom line, resist the urge. Have a checklist you go through before making any purchase that includes the following questions. I should probably tattoo this on my forehead. Do I really need this or do I just want it? Do I need the money for something more important? If I wait 24 hours, would I still make this purchase? Does this purchase fit my overall financial plan? That's pretty good. I'm not going to buy anything if I read all of those questions, right? Precious is, yeah, she's nodding her head. We're like, no, we're going to go to the store and buy bananas, and that's it.
Yes, yes, she's rooting you on.
Grig. Yep. So that's something to think about, definitely. All right. Number 8, don't continue to pay for things and services you do not need. A great example is the number of entertainment subscriptions available. Oh my gosh, I think we're nodding in here. We have Hulu, yep. Hulu Plus, Stars, Netflix, Disney Plus, everything, right? Yep.
Yep.
But
yep.
You may not need them,
and
right?
The sad part is they get you by saying, you know what, we've got this great series coming out, and you're like, well, how much is it going to be, though, if I actually get that? It's only $5 a month.
Oh, that's
like,
nothing. You know yeah, what? But when you have 100 of them. Like I do,
exactly.
Right? That's
exactly.
The difference. This is the truth is, even though you're paying for all of these channels, you can only watch one at a time, right?
So well, good for you.
Well, I'm just saying that's good to keep in mind, right? Because we're not watching Disney Plus and Hulu and Stars, and although yeah, I'm guilty of this. Gosh. Oh, no, thank you.
And some, I got to tell you, some shows that are coming back out.
I know.
You know,
good stuff.
Right now,
I know. Good
but
stuff.
I'm excited about that.
Okay. Number 9, don't replace, repair. Figure out a way to live with what you currently have and only spend money on true emergencies.
Oh.
This I don't really, whether it's your roof, your house, or your car, it is better to repair in most cases than to replace. I would agree with that. I think that's kind of common sense. So, whew. All right.
Yep.
One that I'm not guilty of. Thank goodness. All right. Oh, this one is not good. Number 10, don't buy bling. Don't bust your budget buying bling. Stop showing off and put your money where it really matters. Very true.
Whoa.
Well, I mean, especially during a recession, absolutely. You don't need all the, sparkly stuff, right?
Unless it's, let's say, a car, nice car, okay? And the reason why I say that is because if I drive up to a client's house and I'm in a 1972 Mercury Marquis, right?
You're aging yourself with that, but yeah, I know what that is. Uh-huh.
Okay.
A really old car. You show up in a really old car.
I'm in a 1997 Pacer, right? If I pull up in that, right? They're going to go, have you ever sold
a house? My goodness, right?
And so, unfortunately, there are certain things that you have to do to show that you are successful in what you do, right?
Okay.
Because there's no way around not showing that you're successful.
Right.
And yet then going in there and saying I'm successful.
Right. Well, fair enough.
So there's certain exceptions to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nicer car, I mean, for us, we bought our car recently for safety purposes.
Which is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
By the way.
She is beautiful.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the 900 kids, you want to make sure that, we're protecting our investment with the nice car.
You can tell a car is expensive when you call it a she. When you give it a personality.
Yep, we love her. Very true.
Yeah, see that? Yep.
Very true. So I think, this is a good list. I think it's just, when I read this, my first thought was, need versus want, right? Do you need it or do you want it? If you want it, put it on the shelf for a little bit, right? The things that you need for you and your family, that's what you should be putting your money toward, not what you want.
I will tell you that when it comes to me buying certain things, I'll be on Facebook or whatever, and I'll be scrolling down, and something will come up, and I'll go, it's brilliant. I've got to have it, and I'll buy it. And 9 out of 10 times, I never use it.
Yep, exactly. Right? I know. Well, that's why, this is why we have the Judys and the Gregagugs in our life, right? Because we can ask them, like, hey, this looks awesome, and they'll say, no, don't buy that. You're silly.
Which I take affront to. I'm like, wait a minute. No, you don't understand. And I'll give a sales pitch. This sounds awesome.
No.
I mean, and she'll go, yeah, no.
I know. They look right through us. That's the problem. You know, we're like, no, but we need it. Absolutely not. Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. So do you want to go into some lawsuits or do you want to take a quick break?
Oh no, I think we should take a quick break and then go into the lawsuits.
Lawsuits. All right. Well, while we are all contemplating our spending, stay with us. We will be right back.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, and welcome back to Real Estate and Other Stuff on KHTS 1220 AM and 98.1 FM and on Facebook Live. Taylor Williams, Moniz here. Phil, our friend on the phone. Gosh, say that five times fast. Phil, our friend on the phone. My goodness. So,
yes. We
got a lot to discuss. I mean, I teased lawsuits, which obviously sickly makes me very happy, but we don't have to start with that.
And I'm impressed. I mean, I'm impressed with that whole thing when it comes to you knowing all that stuff. I love that.
Hey, man, it's what I went to school to do, right?
So I know. That's cool.
I know. But I think we have this article is interesting, the new agent lifesaver, right?
Yep.
What should I be doing while waiting for my buyer's pre-approval?
Yep.
Okay.
So what do I do when another agent fails to disclose property defects?
Ooh, that makes me happy. All right, let's get into it.
Okay. What do you do when you find out that the agent on the other side of a transaction has not disclosed major property defects? The answer isn't as easy as you think.
Call me. So no, I'm kidding. That's not what you should do.
Yeah.
No, the answer isn't easy. You're right.
No, all's well that ends well. Well, maybe not in this case.
Right.
One of our readers wrote in asking, now, this is not for us. This is actually an Inman article. So when it's like one of our readers, it's not us. It's one of their readers. Okay.
Right.
One of our readers wrote in asking the big question, what do you do when you find out another agent failed to disclose major issues with the home being sold? It's a touchy legal issue. For sure. But
I'm smiling. You can't see it, but I'm smiling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It is touchy.
Okay. So they wrote in, said, Dear Inman Basics team, an agent of mine has accepted an offer on a property with an outside agency. This home has a well on the property. The inspection period has passed. However, the buyers have found out that the well water recently tested poorly. Non-drinkable, okay? You can't drink it.
Yikes.
And the property will need a new well.
Which is spendy. Yep.
They were then given documentation saying that the current seller, who is also a realtor, was made aware of this problem in November 2021. The buyers obviously wanted to deduct the price of a new well, $20,000, from the purchase price.
Yep.
The seller is saying, sorry, not going to happen, but we'll gladly cancel this agreement and refund your earnest money. I know this is more of a legal issue now, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I actually think that proposed solution is what I would do. Cancel the contract and give your earnest money back.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, so this we run into this all the time, right? You want to purchase a piece of property because it's unique and you like it and you want it, right? So I can understand from that standpoint that, no, they still want the house, but they want to be compensated for the issues with the well. That's when your bigger litigation gets involved. But the fact that the seller had knowledge of it, that's a huge issue. So they're going to have to be held liable for that. I mean, obviously, without me looking at all the real estate documents, that's kind of my 2 cents based on cases that we have like this all the time.
Yeah, so yep. I'm curious about it. I underlined a couple of things here.
Okay.
I underlined the inspection period had passed. So my question is, why wasn't this picked up during the regular inspection period?
Great question. Yep, that's why in these lawsuits, typically the inspector is a defendant. They're included. Because, hey, you should have picked up on this. Yep.
Yep. And a lot of times, just so that you know, the way I think is a lot of times they will bluff you and say, look, okay, we'll give you your deposit back because they know that they were wronged.
Right.
But they're also thinking, hey, if we do that and we offer them, look, just cancel it. We know you want this property.
Yep.
We know you want it. But just cancel it. Just don't buy the house. Right. So it's an interesting thing because sometimes that's a bluff.
Right. Well,
and they really don't want you to cancel because of the fact that the new buyer is going to find the same thing, and then they really have to disclose it.
Right. Well, especially since this has been brought up. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that, and so I think what happens a lot of times is behind closed doors, the two agents talk and go, wait a minute, you know what?
Uh-oh.
We want it.
Uh-oh.
You know you
yep.
want to sell it. You know, you're
how do we make it work?
To,
yep.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting. But that was kind of an interesting article that I saw.
Do you run into that
and
frequently?
I do. No. Uh-uh.
Well, that's good.
No, rarely will something come up that the people actually, you could tell that the people actually went out of their way not to disclose.
Right.
Rarely. Trust me, if it ever happens, you're the first person I'm going to call.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, every house comes with its own issues, right? And there are certain things that are wrong with it, and that's okay. Just disclose it. I mean, that's the great thing about real estate is everything is so unique and independent. If somebody wants to buy it, they'll probably buy it, even if there's an issue with the well, right? They'll fix it.
Yep. So, you know what's funny is I have an actual presentation for every possible scenario.
But not a well.
No. My presentation, when it comes to actually disclosing things from my seller.
Okay.
They say, well, should we say this?
Because
yes. This is, and I go, look, here's the situation. I go, you disclose everything, your house will sell. You disclose certain things, and what's going to happen is eventually there's going to be a pounding on your door, and then I actually go and pound on the thing, making
yep.
it sound like, and then we open the door, and they go, hi, we have a summons for you. Because you're being sued.
Yep.
And I go, and you don't
good
want
for
that.
You.
And you don't need that.
Nope, you should. Yep.
I go,
that's
yeah,
wise advice.
Just disclose everything.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Yep. Just yep. Cool. Be honest. Absolutely. Totally agree.
So where do you want to go? You want to go Keller Williams CEO?
Former Keller Williams CEO John Davis sues Gary Keller for $300 million. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So former Keller Williams CEO John Davis has filed a lawsuit against real estate franchisor Keller Williams and its co-founder Gary Keller in what Davis says is an effort to restore his reputation after sexual misconduct allegations against him surfaced earlier this year and to recover $300 million in damages. So in the suit, Davis alleges he resigned from Keller Williams because of a disagreement with Keller over a business strategy that he believed would bring in less income to Keller Williams' offices, and that Keller and team responded by smearing him and withholding Dow's accusations from him when he was negotiating the sale of his Keller Williams Market Center regions after his resignation, resulting in tens of millions in financial losses. So, what do you know about this?
Well,
$300 million in damages, I'm saying. I mean, yes, I get to have your name, you know, smeared and besmirched, but my goodness, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, it's actually crazy.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I guess he was having a relationship with someone
yes.
that actually worked with him, right, from a certain time period, that and it was over, right? What he said that he didn't understand was, is when it came to him negotiating for them to buy him out of his offices, what he said was he didn't understand that the lady had actually made sexual allegations
against
him.
Right,
which
he said it was a voluntary, consensual, and non-exclusive sexual relationship between the two of them for about 6 years.
6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I guess you know she's saying, "Oh no," which it's touchy, right?
It's touchy, absolutely.
But what I'm saying is can you actually say 6 years worth of a relationship that way was you see what I'm saying?
I mean, do. It's a good question. Yep.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh boy. So anyway, so I guess what happened was is he ended up selling for a lot less than what it was worth.
Right.
And she went out and got married, right, which is great. Good for her. But now he's coming back and saying, look, you know what? you guys let me go and didn't pay me enough because of this sexual allegation that never was true.
Right, these false accusations.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
So
I pulled open the complaint because I'm thinking $300 million of damages. I was trying to see exactly, you know, how they came to that conclusion, and it wasn't clear in the pleadings. So I don't know if they just pulled that number out, but it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money. So we'll see. So, we'll see what happens.
They'll settle. They'll settle. He'll get a couple million dollars, and he'll be happy.
Right.
That's what I think, because you know what, especially now that real estate companies aren't making anything.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, so how much profit you think you would have made over the next, 50 years?
Yeah, that's how I'm sure they came to that number. It just wasn't clear. But, yeah, you know, so we'll just give you a little money to go away and be done with it. So,
so we have why don't we end on something that's kind of cute?
Okay.
Dogs' names.
Yay!
They're cute, right?
Yes.
Okay, so top five dogs' names for male dogs. What do you think? Can you give me at least one of them?
No.
Anybody?
No.
Anybody in the studio?
No, I stink at this game. Don't. Precious is shaking her head. No.
No?
No. Do you know a dog name? Boy dog name?
I don't know. I'd still call it.
Popular dog name. Anything?
What?
Fluffy.
She said Fluffy.
Fluffy? No, that would be a girl's name. Let's see if Fluffy's on the girl's side. Nope. Okay, so I'm just going to go over.
Rufus.
We're running out of time, right?
Yeah.
Rufus?
Yeah.
Oh,
dang.
No, Rufus not on here either.
All right.
How about this? Number one name, Max.
Max. Oh, that's a great name. Okay.
Yep, number
Max.
Two. Ready? Charlie.
Charlie.
That's Charlie. Right.
Okay.
Come here, Charlie.
What about Barkley?
No, Barkley didn't.
Phil's dog's name is Barkley.
Close.
And I keep trying to steal Barkley. But
Number five is Buddy.
Buddy. Also, we call Cameron, our son, Buddy.
Yeah, okay. Buddy. Okay. That's what I call a koa.
Yep.
Little Buddy.
Little Buddy. Yep.
Number three is Cooper.
Cooper. I would have not. Cooper. Okay. Would have not thought that.
Okay.
Yep.
And number four, Milo.
Milo. Nope.
Okay. So now, if these are weird to you, you're really going to hate the girl dogs' names.
Okay. I'm ready.
Oh. Are we off?
No.
We're still on.
We're waiting for the girls' names. We have a whole minute.
Okay, you don't hear what I'm hearing.
Oh, no, I don't. We don't hear anything.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Girls' names. We got a minute.
So what I heard was, okay. Luna.
Luna, okay.
Number two, Bella.
Oh, yeah, my friend Matt has a dog named Bella. Okay, Bella.
Yep. Number three, Daisy.
Daisy, that's sweet.
Number four, Lucy.
Okay.
Number five, Lily.
Lily. Nope.
Yep.
My poor dogs, Felix and Flynn. Everyone thinks that Felix and Flynn are boys because they have beards and they're just not the most attractive dogs. But we love them, right? So Barkley, Felix, and Flynn didn't make the list.
Nope.
Bummer. Hey, so as we are closing out, I hope you feel better and sound better. But regardless, you're your favorite real estate agent. So if people want to get a hold of you, how do they find you?
All they have to do is get on philnordella.com or call me at 661-312-3561.
Awesome.
How do they get a hold of you?
661-259-9000 or dywlaw.com.
By the way, just so that you know, everybody that I've ever sent to you loves you.
Oh, love it. Thank you. Well, we got to go. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Phil, feel better. We'll be back next week.